This Roto Report is brought to you by my main man, Joe Laser, with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Joe Laser at Laser Insurance and Financial Services, 330-722-4444. Well, the big news of the day, you would think it would be Browns-related because it's the Monday after the weekend of the NFL draft, and for a while it was, but then the Cavaliers decided to upstage the Cleveland Browns and Johnny Football by announcing that David Griffin was going to stay on and be the full-time general manager, but Mike Brown would not stay on as the head coach of this basketball team. And joining me to talk about that move is NBA columnist Sam Amico from FoxSportsOhio.com. And Sam, how surprised were you today that the Cavaliers let Mike Brown go?
Well, you know, Kenny, I was not surprised about the David Griffin move. Those reports surfaced over the weekend. I was surprised that Mike Brown was let go today. I don't think that's a bad thing. If you're going to let him go, you might as well go ahead and do it. But it was a little surprising to me. I thought David Griffin would be named the GM, and then there would be the speculation, are you going to keep Mike Brown? You know, what's going to happen? But I think that they wanted to put an end to that right away, and the Cavs knew, Dan Gilbert, David Griffin knew they wanted to go in another direction, obviously.
Yeah, you and I on the same page, and I think a lot of people felt after hearing Griff talk at the one press conference at the end of the season, this was a guy who was confident and wanted to be here, and in my conversations with him, I got that opinion as well, that he wanted to be here, and he and Dan Gilbert were on the same page. So, yeah, no surprise that Griff remains as the GM. How much do you think he had to do with Mike Brown not returning?
Well, I think that if he wanted Mike Brown to stay, he would have gone to bat for him, you know, and that probably wasn't the case, and maybe this would have lasted a little longer, but you know, very telling at David Griffin's press conference, even before we knew he was general manager, people, when he was asked about Mike Brown, he said, you know, we're all under review, and I'm not surprised, knowing Griff's kind of, in, as well as you know this, his time in Phoenix and the styles that they played, and not just with Mike D'Antoni, but Alvin Gentry, and before that, you know, Scott Skiles, just the philosophy there was they were drive and kick. And we heard David Griffin talk about that when he was named acting GM, that the Cavs were going to be a drive and kick team. Well, Mike Brown and Chris Grant have been pick and roll guys, you know? So, I mean, right there is pretty obvious. It's not a shared philosophy. To be real honest, I don't think David Griffin was pleased with how they performed, you know, and I think he saw the drama in the locker room and how tough that was to manage and the inconsistency on the floor. And I just think that he pretty much, you know, Dan Gilbert was kind of wavering. Should we let Mike go? Should we continue to pay him? And I think David Griffin helped make that decision for the owner.
Was it unfair for Mike to get fired after only 1 year, considering everything that went down from the Andrew Bynum signing that didn't work out, Chris Grant gets fired, the players, some issues with the players in the locker room? Is it fair to pin this all on Mike Brown?
No, I don't think you can pin it all on him, but you can pin enough of it on him. And Mike's a great guy, Kenny. We love him personally.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think he can coach, but I think the match here was bad. I think Mike and this personnel was not a good match. This is a team that was built, constructed to be right or wrong, and you know, more offensively gifted players, and I don't think a lot of the guys played to their strengths, and I think that's where the problem was. I don't think Kyrie Irving was playing to his strengths offensively, and some of the other guys. Everybody. Numbers offensively went down with the exception of Deion Waiters, who basically stayed the same excuse me, from his rookie year. So nobody made an improvement offensively, and the other guys went down numbers-wise. So and also, the league is becoming more offensively oriented. And you know, right or wrong, again, that's going to impact guys like Mike Brown. And more than anything, Kenny, those issues in the locker room that you talked about, you know, the drama started, what, week two or three, when they had that confrontational players-only meeting? And from there,
right,
you know, and again, you can't pin this all on the coach, but you can pin some of it and enough of it on the coach that if you feel like you want to make a change, and it's going to be justified.
We're talking with Sam Amico, NBA columnist for FoxSportsOhio.com, about Mike Brown getting fired, David Griffin getting the interim tag taken off of his job. He is now the full-time general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Cavs now have begun a coaching search. Should we assume that Griff is going to go back to the Phoenix tree? You mentioned a couple of the guys already as far as giving interviews to see who replaces Mike Brown, or are we going to get a league-wide search of coaches that are either A, still on teams, or B, have been fired in recent years and are looking for jobs?
I think you're going to see a little bit of both, but I think you're going to, hey, general managers, and this is not limited to the NBA, it's in every sport. We saw Mike Holmgren in the Browns. You know, general managers tend to hire guys who they're A, familiar with, and B, share their philosophy on what it is that, you know, in this case, what is winning basketball with the talent that we have, who's going to bring the, you know, in Phoenix, obviously people say, well, they never won a championship with D'Antoni, which is true, or under the Steve Kerr regime, they didn't win titles.
And I was going to bring that up with you when you mentioned it before, because that's the case, and that's the argument you're going to hear. So what do you say to that if you're Griff, if you go and get somebody like that?
Well, you know, I think what you say is that, there are situations that guys haven't won championships in some spots, but yet, hey, Bill Belichick, okay? He didn't look that great in Cleveland, and then in New England he goes and wins, multiple championships. And sometimes guys, all they need is the right spot, you know? And I don't think Mike D'Antoni, to be completely honest with you, is going to be a candidate in Cleveland. I hope not.
I wrote a blog earlier, Sam, this month about Mike Brown. If he would stay, they should hire Mike D'Antoni as the offensive coordinator. I think that would be the perfect role for him. I don't like him as a head coach. I like him like they used him with Team USA as a guy to work with the offense. I thought that would have been a big help. Mike with his defense,
right.
You know, Tony with his offense, and I thought that would be a good help for Mike, but I don't want him as the head coach. I don't know about you.
Well, no, you know, I would be very impartial to that. I think Mike D'Antoni is a good coach if he has a great point guard, and I think that happened in Phoenix, you know, but again, he doesn't, I think it's too one-sided. Mike Brown's too much defensive oriented, and Mike is not defensive. Mike D'Antoni's not defensive oriented enough or at all.
Right.
So I would agree with you. The problem with Mike hiring an offensive coordinator is that he had some on staff and he's never used them. He just doesn't use
mm-hmm.
them. I don't know if he doesn't want people drawing up plays or what, but he had, part of the problem the players complained about this year was there were, you know, how many guys on the staff? It was a huge staff, and there were too many different voices pulling them in too many different directions. And I think that has been a big problem throughout Mike's career. Mike Brown is he's had too many voices, yet he's the final voice. And it just too often it gets to be a mishmash of confusion and frustration. And I think that's what David Griffin sensed. But going back to some of the guys that could be, you know, potential coaches here, I don't think, you know, it's not necessary. Obviously, I think they'll go talk to guys like Lionel Hollins, who expressed an interest to me in this job. So, you know, I mean, he's putting it out there. He's interested.
Right.
But he's going to be recruited by a lot of teams, you know. Mark Jackson, obviously, going to be recruited by a lot of teams. David Griffin and Steve Kerr are obviously very close, but you got Steve Kerr, you know, at this point now, it's New York or Golden State. It seems like a name I would not be surprised, although the problem is he kind of rubs players the wrong way too, is Scott Skiles, who obviously was in Phoenix, and then also he has that Michigan State tie with Dan Gilbert. So, you know, I think it's going to be and I wouldn't be surprised if Alvin Gentry got a call as well. Jerry Feasting is a name I've heard mentioned, who's was assistant Phoenix this year with Jeff Hornacek, and they overachieved.
What about a Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State? Do you think he would leave the comforts of his backyard where he grew up, where he played, to return to the NBA this time as a head coach?
Yes. Well, you know, for everything I've heard about Fred Hoiberg, as he wants to coach in the NBA, obviously Minnesota would be an option for him. But I think that would be somebody the Cavs might be, you know, in all honesty, I think their list of college coaches would be pretty short, but my guess is he may be on that.
We're talking with Sam Amico, NBA columnist for FoxSportsOhio.com, as the Cavaliers looking for a head coach, waiting to see how many ping pong balls maybe bounce the right way this time and where they're picking in the draft. Do they have to do this quickly, Sam, to get the head coach and get it taken care of? Or because they've named David Griffin as their general manager, maybe it's not as important to get this done as soon as possible and they can wait it out to see what happens in these playoffs to talk to more candidates?
Right. I think you wait it out. You know, I don't think there's any rush. Other than if you're dead set on a guy, which I don't think they are, then you want to move quickly. But that, you know, that's a mistake that they probably learned from last year with Chris Grant hiring Mike Brown like a week after Byron Scott was fired. I don't think you want to do that again. It's more important now that, you know, with the draft and free agency, that you have a GM who's in place, you know, because you're going to have a lot of coaches calling you and expressing interest that you may not know about right now. You know, maybe George Karl says, hey, you know what, I want that job. And then all of a sudden you have something else to think about, you know. Nate McMillan is a name who's been floated out there who's going to be interviewing for jobs. Now, you got to wait for the Pacers to finish their playoff run, whenever that may be. And if you're interested in Nate McMillan, then you're going to be patient, you know. That's just an example. I don't know that they are. But those are the type of guys you may have to wait on a little bit if you have an interest. But, no, there's certainly no rush. I would think by, you know, the summer league starts July 11th, I think you'd want a staff in place by then, you know. So my guess is, Kenny, that they'll have a coach right around the time of the draft, if not on, you know, if not for the draft, then right after that, because you kind of want to have a staff for your summer league. You know, you want to start implementing your philosophy, especially, Kenny, because so many of these guys with the Cavs are going to be playing, you know, key players are going to be playing summer league. Anthony Bennett, Sergei Karisev, all these guys who are going to play roles supposedly on the team next year are going to be in summer league. So you want to get that philosophy in for the start of summer league and get your coaching hire and the staff in place by that time. And, you know, the Atlanta Hawks are a good example, Kenny, because last year they kind of hired Mike Budenholzer right before the summer league. And then Quinn Snyder, who's their assistant, went out there and coached the team. So everybody was on the same page. And I think you want to get that taken care of by July. But before then, you don't need to worry about it too much.
All right, on Twitter, and you can follow Sam on Twitter, by the way, at Sam Amico FSO, and you can follow me at Kenny Rota today. So I was watching your Twitter account and other NBA writers' accounts and everything like that. I don't know if you got these, but I saw some that came to me and other people that they're calling Kyrie Irving the coach killer. Two coaches gone in 3 years, and Kyrie Irving's contract is a situation where they could offer him a max contract here in July to try and get him to sign for 5 years, that this deal with Mike Brown firing him and still having to pay him for 4 more years, they don't care because they think by firing Mike that this will help keep Kyrie Irving here. How much do you put this on Kyrie Irving and maybe he and Mike not being on the same page, and so therefore to keep their star player, they get rid of the head coach and obviously keep the player?
Well, I probably don't put enough on Kyrie Irving, I'll admit that, but I just think Mike Brown is not a point guard coach, and I think Kyrie, you know, that kind of showed his frustration. Kyrie needs to be a guy who plays like he played in the All-Star game, right or wrong, and that's a guy who's going to push the ball, push the tempo, get out and create, and you know, he can go one-on-one. I really compare him a lot, and I think David Griffin is doing this too, to Steve Nash when Steve Nash was in his prime and winning those NBA MVPs. I think Kyrie Irving is that player. He can be that player. He can you know, pass for a lot more assists, but I give him credit because he stayed the course. Yeah, there were complaints behind the scenes about playing in the system. But, you know, to me, Mike Brown really lost Kyrie in that game when Kyrie went 0 for 9 and scored 0 points in Atlanta. At that point, the entire organization was questioning, you know, how is Kyrie being used, and why is Mike allowing Kyrie to be the fall guy for that performance? So,
see, you and I are on opposite sides here. I think it falls more on Kyrie and the fact that he doesn't want to play defense, and that he's been given free rein since high school, you know, even somewhat in the 11 games at Duke, where he was handed the keys to the Rolls Royce and allowed to drive and do whatever he wanted. I thought it was going to be good for Kyrie to get some discipline and be asked to play defense by Mike Brown. And I put this more on some of the players than I do the coaches, because, and I'm going to ask this question at the press conference of Griff tomorrow, why do you think it was the coach's fault, Byron Scott and Mike Brown, when they're two totally different coaches, it didn't work with either one of them? Why is it not the player's fault and maybe the lack of talent?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is it was a poorly constructed roster in some some aspects. I thought Chris Grant made a mistake by going out and making a big deal about signing Jarrett Jack when he could have just, in my opinion, you re-signed Sean Livingston, who is, you know, had a nice year with the Cavs and was a nice fit and was a nice player, backcourt player. And then Mo Spates, you just let him walk. You know, I just kind of felt like Chris was too big on turning over the roster so much, and bringing new guys in that weren't great fits. And then you bring in a coach who, you know, again, Mike Brown to me is an excellent coach, just not for the personnel that Chris Grant got. But, you know, hey, as far as Kyrie's defense, my only contention is there are a lot of guys in the NBA Hall of Fame that didn't play a lick of defense. You know, and I'm not saying that's okay, but Steve Nash was probably the worst point guard defensively when he won those two MVPs. You know, so I think that you have to make up for it in other areas. I'm not saying you tell Kyrie, well, you don't need to worry about defense, but some guys just aren't good. You know, and then the problem the Cavs had with Mike when they look back and reflect on things was he doesn't get guys to play to their strengths. He gets guys to play to his strengths, which is defense. And that's great. However, they lost so much of their other things. And you know what? I think Kenny, more than anything, is Mike doesn't have, unfortunately, from the buzz that I've heard, I don't know this, I'm not in practice, but the skinny on Mike is he's a great coach and a great mind, but he has trouble relating. He doesn't have the leadership skills to implement his style because he loses his players. And I think it's strictly out of boredom. I just think his approach and his style of coaching kind of bores the guys, and that can be problematic, and therefore they're miserable, and then you have team drama all year. I honestly think, Kenny, and I've heard this from around the league, their chances of re-signing Luol Deng went from 0 to about 45-50%. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing if you want Deng back or not, but that's, yes.
See, now, yeah. I'm hopeful that they don't sign him because I think he's out of gas, and he's
that may be the case, yeah. But
yeah, so but that's interesting that you heard that. So we'll see how it affects maybe the free agent market. We don't know what's going to happen with LeBron yet. I can't see LeBron leaving Miami if they win 3 in a row and have a chance to make history and be only the second team in NBA history to go for 4 in a row. I would expect him to stay for one more year. If they win it this year, we'll have to wait and see. But other free agents now, if they're looking at it that LeBron may stay, maybe this has something to do with trying to attract other free agents to come here, and maybe that'll play to their advantage. And now it's on David Griffin as the general manager to find the right coach, get the free agents to come here, or make some big trades to turn this thing around, because it obviously wasn't headed in the right direction in the minds of Dan Gilbert. Last thing before I let you go, Sam, how much of this falls on Dan Gilbert? We talked about Chris Grant overhauling the roster like that, but didn't the owner, Dan Gilbert, hire Chris Grant? So doesn't he deserve some of the blame for these last 4 years and what has transpired? Two different head coaches, and now from Danny Ferry to Chris Grant to David Griffin as the general manager?
Well, I think he does. The only thing I would blame Dan Gilbert for is for hiring Chris Grant. You know, I'm not going to blame him, Kenny, for doing what we all want our owners to do of sports teams, and that is, I've hired a general manager. I'm now going to place my faith in you and let you make all the decisions. And he put his faith in Chris Grant. And when Chris Grant said, we need to hire you, we want to improve defensively, there's a coach out there who can make it happen, my buddy Mike Brown. but we're going to have to pay him a lot of money to bring him back because of what happened in 2010. And do you know what Dan Gilbert basically said, which is what we want our owners to say? It's your show. It's your show. If you are telling me that Mike Brown is the coach for this team and he's going to get us in the playoffs and get us to where we need to go, then it's your show, Chris. I'll let you make that call. And I tweeted this out earlier, Kenny, and I didn't tweet it out at the time because I didn't think it was relevant. But the funny thing about that was the day the Cavs announced that Mike Brown was their new head coach, I got a text from an opposing NBA coach, and all it said was, Chris Grant just got himself fired, which I thought was very, very interesting. I thought, you know, it's bad blood between this coach and Mike Brown or whatever. It turned out to be very, very prophetic.
Interesting stuff. Hey, Sam, we appreciate the time, the insight. You and I will both be out at the press conference out of Cleveland Clinic Courts talking with Griff and then seeing where this thing goes. So thanks for joining us here tonight on the Rotary Report, brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444 or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real. Thanks, Sam. Talk to you soon, bud.
All right, Kenny. Thank you.